Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary, and this is David Fuller on Friday, the 19th of September, and I'm recording at 9:55 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is a big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's just have a quick look at some of the things, at least, that have happened here this week. And if you're like me, and if you're a British citizen, you may feel that you've really been put through an emotional roller coaster here. But you know the result. The Scottish referendum vote was won comfortably enough in the end, although it certainly gave us some nervous moments, didn't it, over the last couple of weeks. But the big issue here is that has settled what was a very, very dangerous potential situation here in terms, obviously, of weakening the United Kingdom. I think actually throwing Scotland into a lot of economic uncertainty in terms of the future, which had not been addressed. That's probably why the referendum didn't carry. I think it would have been very disturbing internationally, and well, you know my views. I've been expressing them for a long time. I think that it was a very big political hurdle to get past, and we did get past it successfully. That doesn't mean that there won't be plenty of change within the UK going forward, because we're clearly moving from less of a union towards more of a federalist structure. And I think that's probably pretty good, devolving of power to regions, including big cities, is a great idea. And also, it's a great idea that in England, where I live, of course, not necessarily, of course, you may not know that, but in London, that English MPs should have far more of a say in what actually happens in the English economy if we have all this, more of this devolution, and we surely will, than Scottish MPs or other MPs from far away from or not directly involved in England. Okay. But that is one worry that we've avoided. We've also had the Alibaba float, and it went well. The price was raised before the float, $68. People are saying that was still conservative. I think it closed above $93 here today, but it was trading after hours. But it was a good move here overall. Now, what about repercussions or possible fallouts? We did have a weaker Russell 2000 index. We saw some faltering on the various U.S. indices. Wall Street's had an awfully strong week. I rephrase that. I'd say Wall Street's had a steady week here overall, up near its highs on the major indices. But a lot of people have been wondering, including myself, if Alibaba was some sort of a bell ringer here in terms of supply. Now, I just to restate that, I didn't mean to imply that, you know, you'd suddenly get a major top coinciding with the float of Alibaba, but at previous market highs of significance, we've tended to have a big increase in new issues coming to the market really in the months ahead of the eventual peak. It's easy to understand why. The market's very strong. Companies come rushing forward because they know that they can get an attractive price for their companies. So the cynic's view is of, you know, you float a company because you can get more for it than you think it's actually worth. But I am concerned about the supply issue. here. And so keep an eye on some of those little indicators, such as the Russell 2000. It's right smack in the middle of a trading range that it's been in all year. But that would give a lead signal to the downside. Okay. Other than that, it's been a pretty strong. Elsewhere, it's been a pretty strong week here. Lots of new highs occurring. Some of them within Europe, led by among the major economies, led by Denmark and Japan. Also going to new highs in here, and with the help of the with the soft Japanese yen. I've been talking about this all week, and we had another big gain by the Nikkei 225 in here today, up over 1.5%. So it's joined topics in new high ground. We had a strong rally yesterday by India. It didn't push any further, but it was virtually unchanged here on the day, and that was it was a good signal. And just generally, these stock markets are really mostly quite firm. Hong Kong did okay in here today, and China was steady as well. Long dated government bonds, well, they had gone up this week in a number of countries. The yields had gone up, I should say. U.S. Treasuries fell back a bit here today, 2.5745. I would think with the U.S. dollar firming, and that's been one of the big stories, not just this week, that the U.S. dollar has been pushing up in here. Why might the dollar be pushing up in here? Well, you've got the U.S. economic recovery. That's one factor. Perhaps coinciding with the end of QE. Possibly. I think there's been some safe haven buying in the US dollar because we've had a lot of worrying political situations in the news. That could be another factor. People do expect that the interest rates will start moving upwards sometime next year. Also, the dollar was at a very attractive level here overall. My guess is the Fed will be relaxed with a small move to the upside, and Owen and I have been saying for a long time that the long-term potential was for a stronger dollar. One of the reasons for that is that the U.S. is in a much stronger position than following previous recessionary periods. This has been a particularly difficult recessionary, disinflationary period because of the credit crisis recession back in 2000 and 2008, as we all know. But the U.S. is in a much stronger position because of its virtual self-sufficiency in energy prices. But on the subject of energy prices, they've fallen significantly. You remember when we were worried about 200 and I beg your pardon, $116 on the Brent price? Well, that's down in the $97, $98 range, and the WTI, that's that U.S. contract, that's fallen back a lot. That's down to $92.46. They're both a little oversold here in the short term, but we haven't seen much in the way of upward dynamics or follow through on upward dynamics here. And gasoline prices, for instance, in the U.S. and in a number of other countries, should have been falling. I haven't been monitoring them in all the various different countries, but certainly, the lower oil price would suggest so. So we've had this background of that. Well, that the Fed will be happy to see those lower energy prices, but also take it through all commodities. I'm I'm surprised by the extent of the move downwards in the cumulative commodity index, that CCI, if you want to access it in the charts. But that broke through earlier in the week. It broke through that 500 level, which had been the floor for really several years, and has carried, excuse me, has carried down further. It's below 490 now, and excuse me, just about all commodities have been weak. The precious metal sector has been clipped, including again in here today. And silver, as I speak, well, no, silver's closed, of course, but 1781. So it's broken beneath the lows that we'd seen over the last few years. There's downward acceleration in here today. So it looks overextended, oversold. It looks somewhat climactic. But the trouble is that a move like this, particularly when you break through previous lows for a few years, it's a little bit like catch a falling knife territory, in that one really does want to see some sort of clear upward dynamic to indicate that you're getting a combination of short covering and some new money coming in. And we have yet to see that for gold, silver, platinum, or palladium, although they are very overextended on the downside here right now. Okay, that's pretty much, I think that's covered on the important things over the last week. So where do we actually go from go to from here? Get my words right. Well, I think that starting with Wall Street, which is always going to be such a huge influence here, that you look at the major indices and the bull trend is still intact. We know the valuations are a little bit high. We know about the political concerns. We know about the increasing supply from new issues. We know that the Fed is winding down QE. That will end next month. We know that the Fed and others are talking about a higher short-term interest rates around the middle of next year, although that could come in sooner if the economy surprises on the upside, or not if it does not perform all that well. Well, sum it all up here. We have a nervous background in terms of in terms of political developments, but in terms of the factors that hard-headed investors are concerned, this is still a sweet spot. I've used that term on a number of occasions over this cycle. But we've got, looking at all those commodity prices, we've got non-inflationary, modest fits and starts sort of recovery environment. We still have accommodative monetary policies. And those are the factors that are going to influence investors more than any others. We don't have bubbly characteristics in the markets right now. We had some last year, and then those got sorted out on a rotational basis rather than an overall big market sell-off. So while I've been saying that we could hardly be surprised if we walked into a 10% correction at some point in the medium term, and I think that's a highish risk, but it doesn't mean that we aren't still in a sweet spot here right now. And we would, before we could have any sort of 10% correction, we would need to see some clear deterioration in these leading indices, such as the Dow and the two NASDAQ indices, the 100 and the and the broader NASDAQ index. And that's the Dow, the S&P. That's just not occurring here, yet they're still in these consistent self-feeding overall upward trends. So, sorry, still clearing the throat here. My suggestion is ride it while it remains in form. And when I look a little further ahead, in addition to a 10% correction, as we get a more well, I should rephrase that. We get closer to rises in short-term interest rates. It would be surprising if we didn't see a choppy period, but I think that you'd see some upward pressure on bond yields, and that's not really occurring in here. Yes, we've seen a rally up off lows, but they again they softened in here today and below 260 on that U.S. 10-year. Well, that's not a problem, is it? And as a matter of fact, it makes them look quite attractive for investors in some other countries, not least within Europe, where yields are lower because of the minimal growth and deflationary pressures that we see there. What's going to lead to more volatility in markets? Well, I've mentioned new issues. Fortunately, it's not going to be the Scottish referendum. I can see you'll be relieved that I can stop talking about that, and you can stop worrying about it if you live in the UK. And there's the Middle East, a lot of turbulence there. It's a scary situation, but in terms of markets, it only really counts if it's pushing the oil price upwards sharply, and that's certainly not happening in here right now. What about Russia? Well, I think Mr. Putin is taken aback, not by the sanctions so much, although he was a little surprised that they got ratcheted up again a short while ago, apparently, according to reports I've read. But he'll be concerned about the oil price, and that Russian economy is weak. So I think that that Putin's territorial ambitions need to be contained. You'll be aware of some of the bravado he's been expressing, to put it kindly, about who he can invade and so on. The psychological profile of Putin is scary, as I've said before. It's best if those tough sanctions, which do hurt economic GDP growth for the countries involved, and that's most of Europe. The USA is a participant in that, but Europe's more vulnerable in terms of the sanctions, given the weakness of the economy and the direct impact and the threats from Putin. So far, touch wood, I think the policies are appropriate, and wouldn't it be nice if Mr. Putin gave up on these territorial expansion ambitions? Although I'm not smoking anything in saying that, and so I think it's an unlikely prospect any time soon. But tough policies, tough response by the Western democracies can hold him in check. That's the point. Okay. What else to mention in here? What are the messages behind these weak commodity prices here? And I think first you take the agricultural commodities. It's mostly good news, good crops, and that's a relief. In terms of precious metals, well, They may be cheap, as I said, but nobody seems to be interested in them at this moment, except for people who are pushing them down with some of the short positions here right now. In terms of oil, well, there's clearly sufficient supply right now, and that's one of our long-term themes here at Fuller Tracy Money, is that as renewables increased, became more reliable, and as fracking picked up, and fracking hasn't picked up as much as we feel that it should and would like to see, and that this would weaken the energy producers overall, lead to lower energy prices in real terms. Well, we're still in 2014, and we're seeing some of that, a little bit of that, earlier than I had dared to hope. Let's hope prices don't move up. Oil prices don't move up significantly from current levels. industrial metals. We've still got soft demand from China, and that's prompting China to stimulate its economy a little bit more. So I think that China's stock market will do well. It's certainly one of my favorites on valuations. In the Asian region, Japan is right up there as well. So again, they're saying that the soft Chinese economy causing the government to ease monetary restrictions and try to stimulate the economy a little bit more. That's good for the stock market. But it's not yet good for the commodity prices that China consumes when it's, the commodities that China consumes more than any other country. And it'll take longer for it'll take longer in terms of an economic recovery in China and in other parts of the world to sufficiently increase demand to push commodities higher. So again, you take this overall environment, it's still, as far as most stock markets are concerned, it's still this sweet spot that I referred to earlier. And I haven't sold any of my long-term equity positions. I'm not tempted to put on any short positions in this environment, and I don't want to have leveraged positions because I think that the risks are gradually increasing. But the best thing to do is just to run with your good conservative equity positions. By that I mean I don't want to be paying over the odds for fashionable shares. I like things that have decent dividends overall. I like things that are selling at reasonable multiples, and I like the multinational companies, the autonomies, as they are called at our organization. Okay, what about currencies in here right now? Well, I think it'll, I did touch on that earlier, but I think that it's really a question, will the dollar move up enough so that the Fed becomes concerned? Could easily happen if the dollar moves up modestly. It's moved up fairly sharply in the last few weeks, but from very low levels. So I think that the Fed probably won't be worrying about it at this stage. But if the dollar were to keep moving upwards at the same rate, I think the Fed might well start to become concerned. You know, for a long time we've lived in an environment where there was where we saw a lot of disinflationary pressures. And central banks did not want to see their currencies appreciate for very long. And when they did get somewhat overextended, they stepped in and intervened. I see no evidence that the Fed is ready to try to step in and curb the dollar here, but as I've just said, that if it were to surge again, such as we've seen over the last couple of months, I think that we would see, quite possibly, there would that would increase the risk that the Fed did actually step in to slow it up. Elsewhere, I think we'll see a euro that remains generally soft. It's currently at 1.2829 against the U.S. dollar. And I think that the European Central Bank, I know the European Central Bank, would not be unhappy to see it move somewhat lower. I think sterling, probably seeing this really at... It rallied up a little higher here earlier today, got up to 165, but then pulled back, and is currently 1.6288. I think people had been buying it earlier on the basis that the on the basis that they were expecting the no vote to win in the Scottish referendum, as it did, and then we saw some early profit taking. But I think seeing sterling in the 160 to 165 region, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw that range hold for some time. And then there's a good prospect that UK interest rates will be moving up sometime next year. So I would expect the sterling not to be surging, but to be quietly steady overall. I think that would suit the Bank of England. Elsewhere, I think the outlook is for mostly just range trading for the majority of currencies here overall. And on that note, I think it's time to say, well, I hope you enjoyed and profited even from a dramatic week, and all the very best. Have a terrific weekend.